Our scripture reading for the morning comes from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Amen. Prophets are funny, funny things. We think of prophets as future tellers, and they position themselves as such. But in ancient Israel, when the prophecies were written, when these prophets were being read for the people, there was an understanding. The prophets were rarely giving these prophecies ahead of time. Some of them were, but most of them were actually looking back on things that had happened, places where it seemed as though God had abandoned the people, and speaking as though they were there at that time, explaining what God was about to do. In other words, they weren't future tellers, fortune tellers. They were context makers. They were folks who looked back on the history, where the people had come, the struggles that the people had come through, and they helped folks make sense of it, understand where God was in the midst of it, learn God's lessons from the struggles that they had faced. Now, what's the difference to us who are living after these things? And so we look back, and whether the person was telling the future before the events happened or was writing about them afterward, it's all in the past for us, right? Except that it's important for us to remember that when Isaiah is saying, when Isaiah is writing these words, he's writing these words to a people who are living in exile already. He's writing as though he's saying, you're about to go into exile. You have done wrong in the face of God, and God is going to allow foreign powers to come and conquer you, destroy the temple, carry you off into exile, away from the land that God gave you, away from all the things that you understand make you who you are, away from the place where God dwells. And so, if you look at it as future telling, Isaiah is describing a God who says, almost as though he's saying, I give up on you. I wash my hands of you. You screwed up, and now this is done. A couple generations later, I'll call some other your kids back into. We'll try again. This is almost a soft version of the Noah's Ark story, right? Wipe the folks out of the land. We'll try again in another generation. Except that if you read this story as Isaiah in the midst of exile, looking back, in the midst of a people who are saying, what happened? Why has God abandoned us? Why has God not fulfilled God's covenant with us to be our God, to help us be a sovereign community who lives on the land that God gave us? Isaiah is saying, listen, God didn't abandon us. We broke covenant. A covenant is an agreement between two groups of people, right? God has a promise for us, and we make a promise to God. We did not treat people fairly. We took advantage of those who couldn't take care of themselves. We did not do what God called us to do, and therefore, the covenant was broken. And you think that all is lost because you no longer can visit God in the temple. You think you're no longer the people of God because you're no longer in the, you're no longer the Israelites because you're no longer in the land of Israel. But this message is the part where Isaiah begins to turn from saying, hey, you broke the covenant first, to say, forget all that. All the things that you think made you the people of God, those were just the things that made you who you were then. God doesn't need you to be in a particular place in order to understand God. God doesn't need you to be in a particular place in order to be God's people. You are always God's people. In fact, God is about to do a new thing. If you open your eyes to it, if you prepare yourself to see beyond the moment that you're in, the struggles of the moment that you're in, you will see that God is still with you, that not only is God still with you, but God is about to do something you never thought possible. God has broken out of the boundaries that you thought God was in, the temple, Israel. God is on the loose. And God is going to do a new thing with and through you in the world. Over the season of Lent, for those of you who are here with us, we spent 5 weeks reflecting on what God has done in and through Broadway over the time, I was going to say over the last 175 years, most of us have not been around that long. So in our context, in our understanding, what has God done? Who has God been for us? What has made us, drawn us to this community, to God's family? We spent time reflecting on those things. Now, friends, we know Broadway is not what it was 175 years ago. It's not what it was 50 years ago. It can't be. If it were, we would not be relevant to a community that is not what it was 175 years ago, or even 50 years ago, or really even 20 years ago. Things are changing so quickly in the world around us. We cannot be what we used to be, but that doesn't mean that the values that God has instilled in us, the things that God is teaching us, the principles that God is calling us to don't still apply. How we show the community love may have changed, but we still love our neighbors as ourselves. Yes? How we work for justice may have changed, but that is still our call to seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God. Those words are just as true today as they were 175 years ago when Broadway was founded, as they were 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago when the prophets wrote them for the Hebrew Bible, right? Our call is the same, even if how we live it out is different. And so we reflected on what God has done, and we tried to pull the themes out of that. I worked with the leadership team and with some of the staff to try to pull themes out of that. I took those themes and I tried to craft something that I felt like was reflecting what I was hearing, and then I put it back to the leadership team. And then last week, for those of you who gathered around tables at the potluck, I put it back to the community. And there was a lot there that I think people really resonated with. There was one word that we kept sticking on. So I was thinking I was going to be presenting to you today a new vision for Broadway. And that vision originally what I had come up with was seeking, integrating, amplifying the voices of God and our diverse community. seeking, going out and listening, deep listening for God and for the people in the community we serve. We don't know how to serve the community until we listen deeply. We don't know what God is calling us to until we listen deeply. Integrating, how do we take what we're hearing and how do we make sure that it affects us, changes us? We're changed by what we hear, right? We incorporate it into who we are and what we become and what we're doing. Amplifying, how do we make sure that whatever we're hearing and becoming, we are pushing out to the world so that it's not just us and Jesus, it's for everyone, whether they join Broadway or not, whether they attend on Sunday mornings or not, it is for the world. But that word integrating, it stuck for folks. Everything else seemed to flow. Integrating felt kind of cold, felt kind of technical. Okay, we played around with lots of different words. By the time we got to last week's luncheon, embracing is what we got to. And I thought, okay, all right, it isn't quite the same, but I think this is, so we put it out, and I asked people to take some notes around tables. I got notes back from every table brought up that word, circle embrace. That doesn't quite feel right. Folks, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little disappointed at the end of this. I mean, it's been how long since Lent? Months. And I thought, the bishop's going to be here. Started this whole sermon series on like a new beginning. I got nothing to present. How do I fix it in a week? Maybe I just got to come up with something and just say, this is it. Except that's not the point. The point is not to have a mission, a product that we can put out there and say, look what we did. The point is, most folks that we've talked to resonate with the idea that we need to do some deep listening. That if we are not engaging in the community in the ways that we want to, it's because we haven't done all of the listening that we could be doing, maybe should be doing, maybe used to do. I don't know, but there are opportunities for us to listen to our neighbors in ways that we are not. And maybe there are ways for us to listen to God in new ways. The idea of amplifying whatever it is that we're getting, whatever it is we're doing, we want to make sure that it's more than just affecting us here, that we are offering it to the community and to the world, right? That resonates with folks. What do we do? How do we take what we're hearing and turn it into something? The fact that we are engaging in that conversation, that's the work right there. For now, that's the mission. If we begin with the deep listening, we pray together about what God is calling us to, and we begin to listen to the community in new ways, I trust that God will begin to help us discern what it is we're supposed to do with what we're hearing. And it may or may not fit on a sign, a poster. May not be able to throw it up on the website in some way that like makes people say, oh, that's good marketing. But if it engages us in a conversation about who God has been in the past for us and with us and through us and in us, to remind us that we are moving forward into a new way of being the people of God in Council Bluffs, that's the work. Welcome to a new dawn at Broadway. Not one where we have all the answers or where we have everything figured out, where your pastor or your staff or your leadership team can hand you a thing and say, this is it, this is what we're doing, this is the program. But one where we are all engaged in the process of listening and discerning and moving with the Spirit into who we are becoming. May it be so. Amen.